Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
With that said, I'm excited about this evening's Bible study, and so please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 8 through 17. 8 through 17. And let me get our screen ready, and so that we can go before the throne room of grace. Amen. And so here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Do Not Forsake the Right Way. Do not forsake the right way. You see, my friends, this is a continuance from last week, when Peter the Apostle spoke about false teachers. And he's going to, in these next scriptures that we're going to expound, he really emphasizes that there was false teaching, the Judaizers, and many deceivers that had crept into the church. And it's no different than today. But God knew how to deal with them then, and he knows how to deal with them now. And so I can't wait till we get into this study. And so we're going to read verses 8 through 17. And once again, I've entitled this evening's message, Do Not Forsake the Right Way. And so let's read the scriptures as we get into this expository teaching. Line by line, precept upon precept, book by book, chapter by chapter. Here we go. And it reads in verse 8, For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of what? Temptations, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Look at verse 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Verse 11. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Verse 12. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. Verse 13. And will receive, receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. Look at this. Verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. Wow. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are cursed children. Man. Verse 15. They are forsaken. Look at this. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And we're going to learn a little bit more about this son of Beor. Wow. And so, here we go. Look at this. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Wow, my friends. So Let's go back now to verse 8 and let's break this down. Verse 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Wow. Wow, saints. You see, Peter, he described Lot as a righteous man. This is what he was referring to, Lot, who was horrified by the evil in that city. It was evil. It's no different than today's world. Many of our cities across the nation are like Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, yes. And we all know that. That is truth. And God will judge one day. But I'm here to let you know that we, as the Church of the Living God, we must stay the right path. We must stay the course. We must never let the culture, we must never let sin rule or reign in our mortal bodies anymore. We need to cry out to God when we fall short, to repent and to turn and ask God for a cleansing. Oh, that's right. That's right. Are we going to live a perfect life? No. But we can live a life pleasing to God. Because when we do fall short, we can cry out. Why? Because we have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our attorney, in fact. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed that we have Jesus who stands before us so that when God the Father looks down, all he sees is the blood of Jesus. That's what Christ has done. He has imputed his righteousness upon us. And so now when we stand before God, we stand in the righteousness of Christ. Not our own merit, not our own righteousness. Why? Because the Bible is clear. Our own righteousness is but filthy rags. But when God has imputed his righteousness upon us, we stand holy and blameless and pure and cleansed before the Father. Wow, what a blessing. Isn't that a blessing to know that, saints of God? You see, Peter's statement about Lot's righteousness must be considered in their proper context. And similar to Noah, who was on an island and of righteousness surrounded by a sea of iniquity, Lot was surrounded by extremely wicked, filthy, lawless citizens of Sodom. And although Lot was far from perfect, he was not. Hear me clearly. He was not a wicked, lawless, unrighteous citizen of Sodom. He was righteous because God declared him righteous. We read that right now just in the book of 2 Peter. Lot separated himself from the lawlessness of that day, of the inhabitants of Sodom, and was even tormented, day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Just imagine all the vulgar, all spewing out every day. You know, the bleepity bleepity bleep. In our day, it's bleepity bleepity bleep and then Jesus Christ. You ever hear people like that? When they use God's name in vain? And when they say Jesus Christ, that's our Savior. That's our Lord. That's who we worship and honor and praise. He's the one that came to redeem us. And when someone just curses and then ends it with Jesus Christ, it's like nails on a chalkboard, just dug deep and scraping down. It hurts our ears. And so if that ever happens to you on the job, maybe friends or family that are not saved, ask them this question when they go bleepity bleepity bleep and they end it with Jesus Christ. Ask them, are you praising my God or are you cursing my God? Just ask them that question. It's not a trick question. And many of them will say, oh, excuse my French. And then you say, well, I didn't know that vulgarity was part of the French language. No, it's just an excuse. But see, sometimes we have to speak up and speak out. And sometimes we have to correct. Why? Because if we don't say a word, that means we're ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, if we are ashamed of him, God will be ashamed of us. And so that's why Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? For it's the power of God unto salvation. First to the Jews and then to us Christians, us Gentiles, praise God. You see, my friends, angel visitors rescued Lot and his family by taking them away from the city before it was destroyed. The Genesis account does not make Lot appear to have been very righteous at all. Oh no, it doesn't. But for all his flaws, Lot stood out as a righteous man in an extremely evil society. And when God chose to bring swift and complete judgment on the evil of these cities, he was gracious to save his own. That should let us know that when Jesus comes for his church, we're going to be rescued out of here. And that's God's grace and his mercy. And we are the elect of God. Say that with me at home. We are the elect of God, chosen by him, handpicked. You ever go to a grocery store and you go through apples? You see some that are bruised. You set it aside. You see some that it's not to my liking. And then you see a red, rosy, ooh, nice, where you just want to bite that apple right then and there. Well, that's how God did. He handpicked us. Oh, that's right. And there was nothing we could do. He made a sovereign choice when he chose you and he chose me. And now that we're called, we have a huge responsibility to be ambassadors for the living God, to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, to speak up and speak out and to proclaim and to exalt and to prophesy and to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever we go, we always, always will encounter those who will oppose the Lord. And don't take it personal. They're not opposing you, but the Spirit of God that lives in you. Can I get an amen? And so, my friends, just as God rescued Lot from Sodom, so he's able to rescue us from the temptations and trials we face in a wicked world. You see, Lot was not sinless, but he put his trust in God and was spared when Sodom was destroyed. Wow. And so, my friends, God will punish those who cause the temptations and the trials. You know, I've counseled many, and there's people that struggle in certain areas of their life. But we also know that those who are part of the temptation, as I just read, to you, as I just spoke to you, as I just mentioned to you, that God's going to have his way with these evildoers that cause the temptations, who put the porn on the phone, who send ungodly things, who, you know, the nightclubs and all the TV that is so corrupt now, it's so violent, blowing off someone's head no longer affects anyone. We're numb to these things. There is mass shootings every day. Matter of fact, I saw a survey already. I believe it was CBS News. There are now 388 mass shootings since January 1. There's only 365 days in a calendar year. We're going to eclipse that. Where years ago, 1940s, 1950s, you never heard of a mass shooting, and now they're every day. This is how we have become like Sodom and Gomorrah and the days of Noah. And so, my friends, take heed. Watch the signs that are around us. Everything's converging now. And Jesus said, when you see these signs, look up, for your redemption draw it nigh. Praise God. You see, God will punish those who cause the temptations and trials. So we need never worry about justice being done. God's going to take care of it all by himself. Now, let's move on to verse 9 of 2 Peter chapter 2. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly, praise God, out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Wow. Wow. There it is right in the Word. God gave revelation to Peter. You see, my friends, These words were comforting to Peter's readers and continue to be comforting to believers today. The Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that God will come and rescue you and save your bacon? You see, Noah and Lot had stood the trial, staying true to God. And that's what God is asking you and I, saints of God, to stay true. Stay true through the trial. We're all being tried and trued. But God is saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, staying true to God alone while surrounded by sin and hatred is a test for many of us. You see, my friends, the early Christians also lived in a hostile environment. Oh, yeah, it was very hostile. And often, saints of God, facing persecution. If they could stand firm, they would be rescued. Praise God. Now, the examples that were cited that I just mentioned also show that God knows how. He knows how to punish the wicked right up until the day of judgment. And Peter's wording refers to this when we read 1 and 2 Peter, praise God, which speaks of the rebellious angels being kept until the judgment. Wow. You see, my friends, scholars have debated the meaning of this verse, meaning Peter himself may have meant that the unrighteous, his focus was still the false teachers and their followers. But many scholars believe it was also the fallen angels. Praise God. Praise God. You see, they were under punishment in this life, these fallen angels, and will be punished after death and will face destruction at the final day of judgment. Let me just say this, saints. Hell was created for the Antichrist, the false prophet, Satan himself, and all of his fallen angels that followed him. It was never intended for man. But because of sin, because of Adam and Eve, and because billions have rejected the love of God, well, guess what? Humans are tossed in there too. It wasn't God's plan for that. But because God is righteous and just, it must be according to what is already written in His Word. Look, I got proof of that right here. Let's go to Revelation. Look at this. In Revelation 20, 11 through 15, look at this. Then I saw, this is John the Revelator. He wrote this while he was on the island of Patmos. He says, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Look at that. And there was no place for them. Wow, no place for them. And I saw, look at what he said. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Look at this, verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast. Did you catch that, saints of God? Was cast in the lake of fire. Wow, wow, wow. That is pretty harsh, isn't it? That's pretty cruel. No. This is God's righteous plan. This is His justification. You see, these who weren't written in the Lamb's Book of Life are the ones that we witnessed to, the ones that heard the gospel, the ones that heard the street corner preacher, the ones that received the tract, the ones that were raised in Sunday school, the ones that knew about God but never knew Him personally. Oh, there's many that come to church. But just because you come to church doesn't mean a person is born again. The Bible is clear. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. This was the dialogue that Jesus had with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. And he crept out at night. Why? Because he didn't want his peers to see that he came to see Jesus. Because he saw the miracles. Wow. He saw all that. And so, saints, others have taken Peter's words to what? To mean that sinners who have died are presently suffering as they wait the final judgment, finally. Others place the words in the future tense, that the unrighteous are being kept now for a future judgment. The last interpretation seems most likely because Peter points to the final deliverance of the righteous at the Lord's return. So the false teacher's destiny is set for them at the great white throne judgment. Wow, wow. So let's move on to verse 10 of 2 Peter chapter 2. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority, they are presumptuous. Look at this. Presumptuous. They are self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Wow. Wow. You see, saints, the certainty of the punishment described in the previous verses is for all evil people. But he is especially hard on those who follow their own evil, lustful desires and who despise authority. Oh, yes. Many despise authority, especially biblical authority. And so this wording refers to sexual promiscuity, immorality, and even perverted sexual practices. Authority could refer to church leaders, angelic powers, as in the remainder of this verse below, or to false teachers and the denial of Christ. Most likely, saints of God, the authority despised by the false teachers referred to all three, and they didn't want anyone over them. In other words, they closed their ears, they closed their eyes, they didn't want to hear truth. And how many times have you preached and you shared to friends and family members, maybe those on the job, and they don't want to give you a day, a minute, an hour, a second? They don't want to hear anything you have to say regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the false teachers lived as they pleased and laughed at the prospect of a second coming and judgment by God. You see, my friends, Peter wanted to make it clear that people will not get away with such sin. Praise God. Praise God. They won't. And with pride and arrogance, they dared even to scoff at the glorious ones. Look what I found in the book of Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude, or the whole book. And let's take a look at this right now. Let's go here. Look at this. In Jude verses 8 through 10. Likewise, also these dreamers defile what? The flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dare not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you." So, saints of God, sometimes we just have to use the word of God. You see, scholars have considered these. They've considered glorious ones to be church leaders, angels, or fallen angels. And the most widely held opinion is that these glorious ones are the fallen angels, the guilty celestial beings who deserve condemnation. Thus, they are fallen angels, and also that are mentioned throughout the Word of God. You see, my friends, the false teacher slandered the spiritual realities. Oh, this they did. And they did not understand, perhaps by taking Satan's power lightly and doubting the existence of supernatural evil powers. Oh, that's right. We are not to box with the devil. Oh, that's right. He is so powerful. We are to go to the Lord. We are to ask God to fight our battle. We have to go to the Lord to rebuke Satan. Why? Because Satan won't laugh at us. Oh yeah, we got to remember, he's a supernatural being with so much supernatural power. But God's going to deal with him. Why? Because he's not equal to God. He was created by God. And God can just speak the word and destroy him. But God is using Satan for purpose. Oh, that's right. Sometimes it's to chase the unbeliever to the cross. And God will use unexpected evil circumstances so that God's perfect will be done. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? You see, my friends, they lived immoral lives. And when rebuked for doing so, and thus following Satan, they would simply laugh at the idea of Satan at all. Oh, that's right. That's right. So these deceivers had their own agenda. So let's move on now. Let's go now to verse 11. Oh, let's finish up, Jude. But these speak evil of whatever they do and not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Wow. Okay, so now let's move on to verse 11 in 2 Peter chapter 2. And it reads, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Wow. Wow. Why? Because they honor God. They're not accusers. Holy angels, righteous angels are not accusers. Oh, that's right. They won't do that. You see, saints, Peter pointed out the false teachers, their audacity in scoffing at the glorious ones by explaining that even the good angels in heaven, though far greater in power and strength than evil angels, never speak out disrespectfully against the glorious ones. Oh, no, they don't. Why? Because God is the ultimate one that will fight the battle. He'll fight the battle for the righteous angels, and he'll fight the battle for you and I. We are all created beings. Hallelujah. Jesus is the one that created all things for his good pleasure. Praise God. And we've been counted worthy. Hallelujah. To praise him and to glorify him. He made a sovereign choice and he chose you and I. Praise God. Now, while not even the angels would accuse Satan on their own authority, the false teachers, they were so arrogant. They did so, revealing their ignorance of God and of the evil powers of Satan. Oh, that's right. A lot of them didn't even believe he existed. So if they didn't believe he existed, they don't believe that he has powers because they don't believe him. Oh, but they're deceived, aren't they? Because the Word of God tells us that he is a powerful being. And God will ultimately cast them into the lake of fire where there will be no more temptation. The 1,000-year millennial reign. We will live on this earth with Christ and rule and reign with him. And we will have joy unspeakable and full of glory. There will be no more sin. Aren't you so blessed? This mind, this body will be transformed. The Bible says we will be like him. My goodness, I can't wait for that day. I'm tired of taking meds and going on roller coaster diets and, body aching as we grow older. Oh, that's right. Many of us have loved ones that already had to go back to the dust. But I'm praying that you and I, God will spare us from the sting of death and rapture us out of here. I believe we're the generation that it's going to happen. Keep on having hope and faith that we are that generation. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Well, so saints, their complete irreverence in the form of immoral living as far as these deceivers back in the day and today, thus mocking God's laws and slander of the evil angels, thus flaunting their self-attested authority, would result in severe punishment. Wow. Wow. So let's move on now to verse 12 of 2 Peter chapter 2. And it reads, "But these like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil," look at this, of the things that they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own what? Corruption. In their own corruption, saints of God. Wow, wow. You see, saints, the false teachers arrogantly rebelled against God and spoke as though Satan's influence meant nothing, laughing at the powers that they knew little about. All their supposed knowledge was worthless. They really understood nothing. And even today, you have these satanic worshipers. You got satanic religion like Santeria. All these things, they don't realize what they're playing with. Did you know that they've been lured in, they've been deceived, but ultimately the devil wants to wipe them out? Why? Because he hates God's created. We're the highest created being on this planet, in this entire universe. And he's jealous. He's jealous of us. This is why you always need to be prayed up. You always need your full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, your loins girded up with truth, your feet shod prepared for the gospel of peace. And we must be like a soldier, like Paul identified in the book of Romans. We must press on. We must continue. Can I get an amen? Praise God. We can never surrender. Never turn your back. Why? Because there's no protection on the backside. We must move forward. We must run this race. And we must finish the race. Can I get an amen? We need to go all the way with God. You're either in it to win it, or you're in it to lose it. And I'm in it to win it. How about you, saints of God at home? We're in it to win it. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, without mincing words, Peter further described these false teachers as unthinking animals, creatures of instinct. And like beasts, the false teachers would be destroyed. Wow. And they would be destroyed and utterly destroyed. Wow. Let's go now to verse 13 of 2 Peter chapter 2. "And will receive the wages of unrighteousness, and those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you." In other words, they're two-faced. You know that old song? I forget who the ones that sung that song. It was back in the 70s. "They smile in your face all the time. They want to take your place. Them backstabbers." Oh, yeah. I think it was the Temptations back in the day. Well, that's what these false teachers were. They're backstabbers. All they did was try to connive you. They smiled in your face. They deceived you. And today, there's people like that now, too. The prosperity teachers. Oh, yes, get rich. It's all about money. It's all about living on Sugar Hill. It's all about riding around in a Rolls Royce and a Lexus. And if your status is not there, a lot of them consider you don't have enough faith. Wow. It's blasphemous. It's blasphemous. I'd rather go to a small church where the power of the Holy Ghost is than to go to these big, giant facilities and people just hide in there with no accountability. There's no anointing in there. You don't feel the presence of God. You just get a lecture. And you go home and you appease your mind. I've been to church. And then many still go home and live like the devil. Wow. You see, saints, these teachers had been so obvious in their sinfulness that it was shameful that any of the believers should follow them. And while the false teachers tried to pass themselves off as superior teachers with great knowledge, they indulged in evil pleasures in a broad in broad daylight. Wow. And such acts would be done under cover of darkness. These men were so arrogant. However, they did not even attempt to cover up their behavior, making them no longer fit to be with the Christians. Wow. Wow. That's right. You know, in the Church of the Living God today, there's just as much of divorces taking place in the church as in the world. Oh, that's right. There's adultery, there's fornication, there's lasciviousness, there's lewdness, there's fornicators in the church. And God's going to have His final say. Oh, that's right. And this is why we always need to have our heart right before God. And even if you thought of sinning, or even if you committed the sin, repent right away. Get up. Don't let the devil come and condemn you and try to keep you away from God. You see this Bible? This Bible does one of two things. It either draws you to God or drives you far away. Why? Because when you read that God is there for us, you'll learn to embrace Him and you'll learn to run to Him. You see, saints of God, the false teachers were a disgrace, a huge disgrace, a stain among the ruling Christians, gatherings by their very presence. The feast may refer to the part of celebration of the Lord's Supper. Oh, that's right, it was. And in one of the greatest of the hypocritical acts, they attended the sacred feast designed to promote love and unity among believers, while at the same time, they revealed in deceitfulness. Wow, wow, my friends. These men were guilty of more than false teaching and promoting evil pleasures. They were guilty of leading others away from the truth. Destruction would be their reward. Wow, wow. So, let's move on to verse 14 of 2 Peter chapter 2. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin. Wow. Beguiling unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practice and are accursed children. Wow. See, God gave Peter revelation about this. And this is the church, inside the church. Wow. Wow, my friends. You see, saints, Peter had no soft words for these false teachers, no excuses for their behavior. Their sinful words and actions came from deep within. And their thoughts and motives were evil. Oh, that's right. I want you to catch this for a moment. Here's four outlines that I found that hopefully will make sense. Number one, they commit adultery with their eyes means that they could not look on women without lusting for them. They were turning church meetings into opportunities for sexual encounters. Wow. Wow, my friends. And that's what's happening today, no differently. Number two, their lust was never satisfied because they were bound in sin, acting like brute beasts that follow instinct without any rational faculties. Wow, saints. My goodness, it hasn't changed. Nothing's new under the sun, right? Nothing's changed. These were men, saints of God, These were men in bondage to sin and to the power of Satan. Wow. Let's look at our third point right here. Number three. They made a game of luring unstable people into sin. Means that, like a fisherman baiting fish, the false teachers waited out their catch. Well, that's right. They were basically predators, prowling, waiting for a weak little lamb that they would pounce on. You see, my friends, they didn't waste time with the strong believers, but sought out those who were not firmly grounded in faith or had doubts. You see, you can be spiritually strong, but also be a midget in the scriptures. In other words, if you don't know your word, you're never going to know what God expects from your life. You see, I'd rather believe God's word than these false teachers or anyone that's trying to counsel you to go a different way than the, than what God said in His Word. You know, so, outside the fellowship, for one reason or another, these false teachers waited to prey on weaklings, pretending patience and interest. They could entice these people away from the faith and into their dangerous net. Wow, wow, wow. And look, I'm going to show you the fourth point right here. They trained themselves to be greedy, means that the false teachers had exercised themselves. The Greek word for trained is a word from which they derive gymnasium, in being greedy and in getting what they coveted. I'm not going to mention the name of the church, the place, the city, but my brother and his friend visited this one church, and I remember what they shared with me. There was an evangelist there, and the pastor of that church came up on the stage and said, "It's the year 2017. He goes, "I heard God say, write a check for $2,017 to the ministry, and God will bless you." And they said that checkbooks were just opening up. Wow. Wow. And the pastor was right, his car was a Beamer, living on Cherry Hill. Wow. Wow. And it's happening today. They use very little scripture, and all they did was manipulate the people. Greedy like this. See, God is exposing this right now, right before you, through the book of 2 Peter. What happened then is no different than today. They're covetous. They won't teach you God's word. They want to keep things away. They won't read this. Why? Because then it would basically expose them on who they really are. You see, my friends, these men were really good at being greedy, because no matter how much they got, they always wanted more. These teachers who were leading Christians away from the faith were filled with pride, immorality, sensuality, greed, lust, blasphemy, slander, and self-will. Oh, that's right. And so no wonder, saints of God, Peter called these men doomed and cursed. This was a common Hebrew phrase to describe those who would face certain destruction from the hand of God. Wow. So let's move on to verse 15 and 16 of 2 Peter chapter 2. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray. See, this is where I got tonight's message, the title, "Do Not Forsake the Right Way." But they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved, look at this, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Wow, wow. You see, saints, Peter once again looked to the Old Testament for an illustration to apply to these false teachers. They followed in the steps of another man who had led many astray. The book of Numbers tells the story of Balaam, who was hired by a pagan king to curse Israel. Oh, that's right. He did what God told him to do for a time, but eventually his evil motives and desire for money won out, and so he wanted to curse the nation of Israel. Look what I found right here in Numbers 25, 1 through 3. Then Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to sacrifices of their gods, known as little g. That means their gods. And the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord aroused against Israel. Wow, wow. My friends, I'm here to let you know that we as believers, if we continue in sin, we will arouse God to be angry, and He'll take us to the whooping shed. That's the last place you and I want to go. He'll chastise us. He won't punish us. He'll chastise us. There's a difference by being punished and chastisement. Oh, that's right. Chastisement is something that He has to minister to discipline us so that we would get back in line and that we would come to our senses that we're walking on dangerous ground, that we must repent and return. You see, saints, the false teachers were not interested in serving God. Instead, they were using religion for financial gain and personal advancement. That was what they were all about. Look what I found in the book of Jude here. Look at this. In Jude. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the air of Balaam for profit, and perished. Look at this. In the rebellion of Korah. Wow. This is the New Testament, saints of God. You see, saints, Balaam claimed to do only what God told him, but the money was a strong temptation. Balaam probably thought that he could figure out a way to obey God, yet get the money to try to get it anyway. Wow. And on his way to see King Balak, three times Balaam's donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in their path, ready to kill Balaam. Look at this. Each time the donkey stopped and refused to go forward. Each time Balaam beat the donkey. Wow. Finally, the donkey rebuked him with a human voice. And Balaam obeyed God and refused to curse the Israelites. Wow. Wow. Sometimes God will use donkeys like you and I to speak truth to those who need to hear truth. Can I get an amen? Wow. And like Balaam, the false teacher's attitudes were akin to madness. Balaam at least listened to the donkey. Can we listen to us donkeys? Can our families listen to you and I? Because God will use anyone that's yielded to Him to preach and teach the gospel, to proclaim truth, to exhort, hallelujah, to glorify God, to magnify God. You see, my friends, the false teachers listened to no one, nobody. And like Balaam, the false teachers expected to get away with their sin, but they would receive their just reward. And so, we're going to look at our last verse of Scripture, and that's found in verse 17. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Wow. Wow, saints. My goodness. You see, saints, the false teachers' messages ended only in disappointment. And like a dried up spring or clouds blown away, their messages were promising much more than delivering nothing. Their fate had already been sealed in blackest darkness. And the word darkness stood for the final fate of all wicked people. The false teachers would be forever cast from God's light into the darkness of hell itself. Wow. And so, my friends, we read the seriousness of God's word. Yeah. Here on Wednesday nights, it's book, chapter, and verse. We don't leapfrog over these scriptures. Why? Because God's word is forever settled in heaven. And let me just say this. You got friends, loved ones, acquaintances, those on the job that you know. And if you have that opportunity to preach truth and are ashamed, God will use someone else and take away your reward. Oh, that's right. This is why we're called to be bold. We're called to be strong in the power of the Lord. We are to yield ourselves and allow God to sanctify us and raise us up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Why? Because Jesus is coming again. Do you know He's coming soon? We see the convergence of all these prophetic words of God from the Old Testament and New Testament that's now coming together. There's diverse earthquakes in many places. Oh, that's right. There's famine in the world. There's war, rumors of war. There's wars going on every day now. In our country, it's gone mad. It's gone mad politically, even in the church. We're seeing lawlessness. We're seeing atrociousness. We're seeing the sexual revolution once again. And this time they're doing it through sex trafficking, pornography, tempting even the saints to sin before God. We need Jesus to come back, saints of God. And I hope you've been praying for your loved ones. I hope you've been praying that God will do something quickly, because time is running out. And soon and very soon, Jesus is about to appear. And we're almost out of here, saints of God. Oh, that's right. We almost are. But I'm here to let you know. I'm here to let you know. Let's look at this right now. Let's look at this. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and said, the Thessalonians, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus." Look at this. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." And then Paul also wrote to the Corinthian church, and he said it best. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit" what? "Incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be" what? "Changed." There it is. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Wow. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Wow. Wow, my friends. Isn't that a blessing to know? Huh? Isn't that a blessing to know, saints of God? Listen, I truly believe those who have logged in, maybe the first or second time, and maybe you never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, here's your opportunity. It's found in the Word of God. It's as simple as apple pie. Repent. That means turn. Turn from evil and wicked ways. Turn from the world. Turn from the culture. Turn from your sin. Make an about face and now turn to God. Stop walking toward God. And cry out to Him. Listen. Peter, who we've been reading through his epistle, was the very first apostle to preach a sermon of repentance. And it was on the day of Pentecost where the 120 were in the upper room praying for the promise. Jesus said, go to the upper room in Jerusalem and wait for the promise. So they were tarrying. What does tarry mean? Waiting patiently for that day to come. And it came on the festival day, on the appointed time, on the day of Pentecost. Thousands and thousands of thousands from around that region would always come and celebrate the feast of the Lord. And Pentecost is just one of seven feasts. The first one is Passover. The second one is unleavened bread. And the third one is the Feast of First Fruits. 50 days later, then it's Pentecost. And then in the fall, there's the Feast of Trumpets. Then there's the Feast of Yom Kippur. And then there's the Feast of Tabernacle. Well, in the middle feast, Peter preached his first sermon. And it says, then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And here's the key verse. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God shall call. Wow. Wow, my friends. There it is. There it is. Right there. And so, I'm going to give you that wonderful opportunity that was given to me. A custodian led me to Christ 34 years ago. And it was through a prayer of faith that saved my life. It was a prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So, if you're watching for the first, second, maybe third time, I'm going to ask you to bow your heart and your head. And pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Someone just gave their heart to Christ. Listen. Down below, as you can see, is our banner. Why don't you reach out to us? On our website is our email and our phone number. Listen, we want to put a Bible in your hand. Oh, that's right. And all you have to do is call us. We want to pray with you. We want to lead you to a good church that will preach and teach the unadulterated Word of God so that you can be on your way with an appointed time with God. When we are changed and we will be like Him. And also, down below, as you can see, we are so blessed by all those who still contribute to our ministry by faith. As you can read down below, donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, I am so blessed and very thankful to have delivered this Bible study this evening. We're going to continue on in chapter 2 and complete chapter 2 of 2 Peter next week. And so I want to leave us our benediction so that we can be dismissed this evening. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we are looking forward to seeing you this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. Don't forget, it's the Healing Rooms at 1 o'clock, and we're going to have special guest singer Dana Earle. She's blessed. We're mighty thankful that she will be there singing praises unto God. We love you guys. God bless you. And we will see you Sunday morning at 10. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.